Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, so find the fifth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Find chapter 16. We'll be reading chapters 16 through 19, taking devotional pauses, thinking of some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Deuteronomy and the opportunity to read this book of the law and to consider how it relates to our relationship with you and how to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 16. Observe the month of Aviv and celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God, because in the month of Aviv he brought you out of Egypt by night. Sacrifice as a Passover to the Lord your God an animal from your flock or herd at the place the Lord will choose as a dwelling for his name. Do not eat it with bread made with yeast, but for 7 days eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, because you have left Egypt in haste, so that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. Let no yeast be found in your possession in all your land for 7 days. Do not let any of the meat you sacrifice on the evening of the first day remain until morning. You must not sacrifice the Passover in any town the Lord your God gives you, except in the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. There you must sacrifice the Passover in the evening, when the sun goes down, on the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. Roast it and eat it in the place the Lord your God will choose. Then in the morning return to your tents. For 6 days eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day hold an assembly to the Lord your God, and do no work. So he's setting up these feasts, and this particular one is the Passover, to remember God releasing them from bondage. They're going to do it in the same month, and they're going to do it exactly the way God prescribes. Verse 9. Count off 7 weeks from the entire time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing the Lord your God has given you. And rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your towns, and the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows living among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and follow carefully these decrees. Different festivals, different details. Verse 13, celebrate the festival of tabernacles for 7 days after you've gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. Be joyful at your festival, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. 3 times a year all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Verse 18, appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, or a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the innocent. Isn't that true? Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. Do not set up any wooden Asherah pole beside the altar you build to the Lord your God, and do not erect a sacred stone, for these the Lord your God hates. Chapter 17, do not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep that has any defect or flaw in it, for that would be detestable to him. If a man or woman living among you is in one of the towns the Lord gives you is found doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God, in violation of his covenant, and contrary to my command has worshipped other gods, bowing down to them, or to the sun, or the moon, or the stars in the sky, and this has been brought to your attention, then you must investigate it thoroughly. If it is true and has been proved that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, take the man or woman who has done this evil deed to your city gate and stone that person to death. On the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses, a person is to be put to death, but no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only 1 witness. The hands of the witnesses must be the first in putting that person to death, and then the hands of all the people. You must purge the evil from among you. Wow, how God set up, you know, capital punishment at the beginning. It's amazing. But he also tried to set up some parameters, right, for these human beings that were going to make mistakes. Verse 8, if cases come before your courts that are too difficult for you to judge, whether bloodshed lawsuits or assaults, take them to the place the Lord your God will choose. Go to the Levitical priest and to the judge who is in office at that time. Inquire of them and they will give you the verdict. You must act according to the decisions they give you at the place the Lord will choose. Be careful to do everything they instruct you to do. Act according to whatever they teach you and the decisions they give you. Do not turn aside from what they tell you, to the right or to the left. Anyone who shows contempt for the judge or for the priest who stands ministering there to the Lord your God is to be put to death. You must purge the evil from Israel. All the people will hear and be afraid and will not be contemptuous again. Verse 14. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, "Let us set a king over us like the nations around us," be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. All right, so this is interesting here in this section of Deuteronomy, and we're about to read it. He knows they're going to ask for a king, and when they do, there are some things he wants them to pay attention to. And if you look ahead to what happens with all the kings in the future, you see why it happened. Verse 15, be sure to appoint you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your fellow Israelites. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not an Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them, for the Lord has told you, you're not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God, and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. Chapter 18. The Levitical priests, indeed the whole tribe of Levi, are to have no allotment or inheritance with Israel. They shall live on the food offerings presented to the Lord, for that is their inheritance. They shall have no other inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. This is the share due the priests from the people who sacrifice a bull and a sheep, the shoulder, the internal organs, and the meat from the head. You are to give them the first fruits of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the first wool from the shearing of your sheep, for the Lord your God has chosen them and their descendants out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the Lord's name always. If a Levite moves from one of your towns anywhere in Israel where he's living and comes in all earnestness to the place the Lord will choose, he may minister in the name of the Lord his God like all his fellow Levites who were served there in the presence of the Lord. He is to share equally in their benefits, even though he has received money from the sale of family possessions. So the Levites were the one tribe who was not going to receive land, but God was going to use them as priests and use them to serve in the tabernacle, and they were going to receive their pay, so to speak, from the people who gave, and in particular, gave them what they needed, for example, food. Verse 9, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. So all the occult practices, they're still happening today. They can seem like they are normal and fun even, but God from the very beginning said these are actually going after other gods. Verse 14, the nations you will dispossess listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." You may say to yourselves, "How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. that prophet has spoken presumptuously. So do not be alarmed. I'm sure there were a lot of prophets in that day and in the day of the prophets who pretended to be a prophet and wanted to say they heard from God. But if it didn't match what God had previously said, if it didn't match what God was actually going to do, then he wasn't a prophet. Chapter 19. When the Lord your God has destroyed the nations whose land he is giving you, and when you have driven them out and settled in their towns and houses, then set aside for yourselves three cities in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Determine the distances involved and divide into three parts the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, so that a person who kills someone may flee for refuge to one of those cities. This is the rule concerning anyone who kills a person and flees there for safety, anyone who kills a neighbor unintentionally without malice aforethought. For instance, a man may go into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and as he swings his axe to fell a tree, the head may fly off and hit his neighbor and kill him. Yeah, I suppose that could happen. That man may flee to one of these cities and save his life. Otherwise, the avenger of blood might pursue him in rage, overtake him if the distance is too great, and kill him, even though he's not deserving of death, since he did it to his neighbor without malice aforethought. This is why I command you to set aside for yourself three cities. If the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he promised an oath to your ancestors, and gives you the whole land he promised them, because you carefully obey all these laws I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in obedience to him, then you are to set aside three more cities. Do this so that innocent blood will not be shed in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance, and so that you will not be guilty of bloodshed. But if out of hate someone lies in wait, assaults, and kills a neighbor, and then flees to one of these cities, the killer shall be sent for by the town elders, be brought back from the city, and be handed over to the avenger of blood to die. Show no pity. You must purge from Israel the guilt of shedding innocent blood, so that it may go well with you. Do not move your neighbor's boundary stone set up by your predecessors in the inheritance you receive in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So it's all about the cities of refuge and how God was trying to protect those who accidentally killed someone, and not protect those, but bring to justice those who did kill someone on purpose. Verse 15, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of a crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness takes the stand to accuse someone of a crime, the two people involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priests and the judges who were in office at the time. The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against a fellow Israelite, then do to the false witness as that witness intended to do to the other party. You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear of this and be afraid, and never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Show no pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That's the end of Deuteronomy 19 and the end of our reading for today. Well, our laws are different, although they certainly are based on some of these, right? Can you see some of that? What is it you take out of these chapters to apply? For me, I see a couple things that tell me a lot about God. One is God is a protector of life, and those who take life are supposed to pay for it. Now, we find out in the New Testament the same thing, that the government actually has the ability to take someone's life, but we also know that we're humans and our governments are evil and we are evil and we don't always do the right thing. And we know that some people get away with it and some people are unjustly judged. So I also hold to what the scriptures talk about God being the ultimate judge who will make everything right in the end. I also see how he takes care of his people and takes care of his priests, of those who are in ministry. And he uses his own people to help care for their needs. It's pretty cool. And of course, all the way throughout, there's just no room for worshiping any other god, getting involved in other things that take you away from worshiping God. So this just brings me to a commitment and a thankfulness today, a commitment to continue to worship God alone and to lead others to worship God alone as a pastor. And to be grateful, so grateful for how he provides for me and my family, even as he does that voluntarily through our church people. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Deuteronomy. Thank you for how you cared for people in the past and how you care for people today. Thank you for the justice system and the leadership you tried to set up, knowing that it would fail ultimately, and you are the ultimate judge and will take care of things at the right time. And I'm so grateful for that, Father. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for your people who helped to do so. And Lord, help me to be faithful to following you alone today. In Jesus' name, amen.